Good evening, everyone, and welcome to I'm Actually Comics for October 17th, 2018. I am Tristan.
I'm Bob.
And we are late in our podcast this week because Bob was celebrating his birthday. Happy birthday, Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so we have some stuff that that we've read, but you may have already read as well, because we're late on the uptake here. But
yeah, but I mean, if you read it, you just read it.
So here, let's get started.
Cool.
Real fast with what we got. I'm going to start with Justice League. So the new shiny Justice League number 10 is the, I think it's the kickoff to Drowned Earth, the new big crossover story.
Correct. That's
and
affirmative.
It is another one of those stories that really gets me in the mindset of how could anyone live their lives in the DC universe as a normal human being. It's just like every fucking day. Are you turning us into fish people today? Yep. Looks like that's what's on the docket for today. We're going to be fish people.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So I will say this though.
Constant, just like post-traumatic stress.
It's
for
true.
Everybody involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they have a crossover about post-traumatic stress and living in a superhero's world. Of
Understandable.
DC. So, I will say that, in a couple months, the Aquaman movie is coming out. And I think it's really smart that DC is doing a Aquaman-based crossover. And
Aquaman crossover. Oh, my God. You spent too much time in Chicago.
Yeah. I actually didn't spend that long there. But either way, I thought this was cool. It's Scott Snyder and Francis Manapul, who drew Flash for a while and is a DC kind of staple, awesome artist. The art's really great in this. And I think that I am, from what I'm reading, going to be really into the Aquaman comic because it looks like the movie is kind of like
this
finally
new.
Doing for Aquaman what the Brave and the Bold cartoon did for Aquaman, and like having that be part of the deal, I think is, and we'll see. I mean, DC is not.
I've absolutely cranked up my orders on Aquaman
that
for
Kelly
this
Sue
new
DeConnick. And yeah, it looks good.
I was very excited by what I saw, and I was like, I'm totally into this. I hope it's as awesome as it looks.
Yeah. I think I'm really excited for that movie.
You
never
too.
Know, you know, whatever. It could not be great, but it looks awesome from what I've seen. Anyway,
great.
Drowned Earth is Aquaman-based Justice League comic that is good.
Awesome. And in the Justice League world, we have Justice League Dark number 4, which is a continuation of that Witching Hour story with Wonder Woman.
Yep. Wonder Woman's heretofore unrevealed witchy powers. She has witchy powers.
It's cool.
And it's actually really, it's great. I really like it.
Yeah.
It's got Swamp Thing.
I mean, we're already 3 issues in. There's not much to talk about. She's possessed. It looks like the next one, she's going to be burning down the
well, it's like Hecate is the main, and it's like DC has never really done like main DC, that kind of take on, you know, that character, like in the way that Hellboy and other things have done. So it's cool. Like it's just a fun crossover story with a bunch of cool versions of DC characters. And it's one of the most of, unfortunately right now, most of DC's comics are kind of a huge bummer. So like this one where it's like,
and you're getting lots of Swamp Thing in this, which is
Swamp
really
Thing.
Great.
You get Detective Chimp, you get, that Man-Bat. Their take on Man-Bat is great.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before.
Exactly. So you should read it. It's fun.
Yeah.
But
Riley Rossmo did the cover too.
Apparently people are stoked anyway because we're selling it like crazy. It's,
yeah,
it's flying off the shelves.
Yeah.
Speaking
cool.
of things that will fly off the shelves, Captain Ginger number 1
okay.
from Ahoy Comics.
Nice. I know very little about this other than just flipping through it.
This is, I mean, if you were to say Star Trek recast entirely with cats, you wouldn't be... Like, imagine the Starship Enterprise had a bunch of cats on it. Everyone on the Enterprise died, and the cats ate them and then grew super intelligent. You'd pretty much be right on the money with this story.
Yeah. This is, the cover blurb says, "This book is steeped in cat lore, cat behavior, and cat knowledge." And the quote is from Walter Simonson.
Yep.
This it actually looked great. It's June Brigman on who drew Power Pack way back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen much of her over the... So, and Stuart Moore was an editor at Vertigo for a while. And
yep.
Writes,
oh, yeah.
Mainly, but yeah, even there's a Grant Morrison, Phil Hester, like illustrated short story in this. And I don't, too much coffee, man. So it's Ahoy Comics, which I assume is like a new publisher because I haven't seen this before.
Yes. This is,
it looks
have,
cool. I think
they
this
basically
looks
have four new titles coming out in the next month or so. And it's their new thing. Yeah. It looks cool.
It looks great. I don't know who's behind it, but good job.
I don't know whoever
you are.
I don't know much of anything about it except that I heard a few people talking about it on Twitter and I started looking at the stuff that was coming out and I said, screw it, I'll give it all a shot.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. I love this. I love everything about this.
That's great. Yeah. Unstoppable Wasp, number one. This
look
is
cool.
An all ages. Well, it's damn funny. It keeps saying that it's all ages. I keep thinking that because of the art. It is a teen plus title that looks like an all ages title.
Yeah.
It's definitely done in like the animated style of the Marvel Universe.
Guri Hiru. He's been around for, he or she or whoever it is. This is the younger version of the Wasp having waspy superhero adventures. I flipped through it. I didn't give it a, you know.
I think basically it says teen plus, but honestly, like in reading it, it's an all ages book. Like it really is aimed at like the 8 to 12 year old demographic. So I don't know what they're talking about.
But it's teen plus. I mean, I just think it's just they've adopted that style, and you know, maybe it's just you got to watch that stuff.
There you go.
Because there's that Giselle comic that's out this week too. That's like super dark and demonic and whatever. I actually thought that was great. That book. I don't know if you brought that.
Do we want to talk about this?
Yeah, Exorcist.
Oh my God. Okay, so we're skipping right to this one. This was maybe my favorite book of the week.
Cool. I thought it was cool. I like that artist. She did some Archie stuff, and it's like the only good Archie art. Like
that's what I was thinking. Like, I was like, this is like the best Archie style I've seen. It's smart, it's funny, it's cute, it's like, it's all sorts of really good things about what that Archie house style can be, and then applied to a Vertigo style horror book.
Yeah.
Fun.
But it was cool, because it's like these two sisters, and it's a prerequisite, there's a twist involved. It was a cool read, but the demon that they... There's like a demon in it that's like a sadness leech, and it's like it's really cool. The I don't want to spoil anything of reading because it's like it would be basically like the meat of the comic, but it's a great bit.
One of the demon. The other one is really good too. The other demon that's possessed. But
I might not have seen everything.
Yeah, you know what? I won't spoil anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You should read it.
Everybody read it. Giselle Lagasse is the artist, and she's really awesome. But this is similar to that. I mean, actually a little bit more. It's got that like kind of,
if you enjoy like Supernatural, the TV show, things of that nature, like the X-Files, it definitely has that kind of like those fun like bad blood kind of X-Files episode, the funny ones. It's really, I don't know, man, it's great.
She's getting married and then all of a sudden a demon shows up and takes her fiance to hell before they can get married, and
good,
I don't know,
stuff.
Good stuff
here,
of that nature.
You can talk about this because I didn't read it.
Okay, so Black Hammer Age of Doom number 6 is out, and it's a special issue in that Rich Tomasso, the artist of Spice Eel and...
I like how that sounded like Spice Eel.
Spice Eel or Spice Eel. Also, he did Dry County, and he's awesome. So this is the... is it Captain Weird, I think his name is? And... it's just, it's a weird issue. There's like a bug man and just, I don't know, just really cool. I love Black Hammer. Age of Doom is the current. That one's this.
Good stuff.
But really good, really entertaining and awesome art on that.
New World is out this week. New World number 4.
Yeah, yeah. You skipped Skyward too.
I did? Let's not skip Skyward. New World is out. I don't know what to say about it.
It's really cool and flashy and a really super fun Treadmore. If you're a fan of Treadmore, you're already reading this.
So Skyward comes out this week. It is number 7, and it takes an abrupt left turn.
Yeah, yeah. Like a big fantasy element comes into it all of a sudden, and it was very grounded in non-fantasy, even though it was a fantastic situation.
But it's interesting because it handles the fantastic fantasy situation in a fairly grounded way from what I'm
reading. At first, I kind of thought she was like tripping, but like apparently this is just the way it is now. So big dovetail. I really like Skyward. The first arc, so I'm very curious, and
I'm actually really digging this transition, to be honest.
Like, unfortunately, I haven't like read it, so I don't have a strong opinion. It was just like, wow, okay, that's where that's happening, and you know, like I probably will love it. I just haven't read it.
Also, we should probably like this cover, it's totally very Sektar's thing. Our friend Tim Clark's thing that he did in the 80s.
Sektar's.
Looks very much like Sektar's.
I mean, I suppose if you're riding a giant winged insect, you're going to look like a centaur.
Sektar.
Not a centaur.
That's true. Okay, so let's talk about Batman 57.
What'd you think of it?
I liked it. I mean, I thought it was like, I thought that there were some cool moments. There is a moment that we...
Oh, it's designed to make people upset. Whatever.
There is a definite thing in here that was designed to irritate comic fans. But it's not.
No, people will be like, well, you did it before. And it's like, yeah, you did it before. And also everybody hated it then. And they also retconned it so that it never happened. And like everybody got in trouble and it was a big, you know, Batman. And it's like, I don't know. To me, like a guy who starts fighting crime because his parents got killed, killing people. Just like it's just like a thing you just don't do. But he doesn't actually kill anybody.
He doesn't kill anybody.
I'm trying not to spoil it, but whatever. People read comics. They read the internet.
There's a gun thing involved in this one.
If I spoil, it's not
a real gun, so it's okay.
It is literally a hearkening to a Jim Starlin Batman story from right after Jason Todd was killed. Like it mirrors it.
So. Yes.
Just depressing.
You know what's not depressing?
What's that?
Venom Annual Number 1.
Oh, that was crazy.
This
and
was
that Juggernaut Venom Stoko part?
Funnest thing. Ooh. I've read in a long time.
Yeah.
This was just a wonderful... my favorite part of it was that it was just literally a bunch of crooks sitting around the bar with no name, all just like telling Venom stories about Venom getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, I guess it is. I didn't really think about it in that
which was awesome.
Style. I thought of it as definitely like just like, oh, you think you've seen the badass right. side of Venom, but it was so 90s.
And it was just fun.
Except for, then you get this huge thing at the end of Juggernaut versus Venom by James Stokoe that is like amazing. And it's something that I saw it and I was like, oh, this is going to be like 2 pages and awesome. And it's like a ton of it is him.
It's just so
like, it's
good.
So cool. It goes on and on. There's great. Oh, the art is so cool. If you ever wanted to see like someone in a Jeff Darrow vein, like draw
yeah.
the Juggernaut and Venom beating the snot out of each other, like,
which
just get this. And then at the end, there's like a thing with the Scorpion that's like, what?
Yeah. Even better is the fact that you get, so it's all, you get this wonderful rehashing of the Marvel, the Wolverine story.
Yeah.
From, what was it called? Marvel Comics Presents.
Yeah.
They're
bringing that
Sam
back.
Keith. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Oh yeah. Sam Keith. Yeah. That definitely, I wish the microphone could somehow like turn my face. Can we talk about this one?
Yes, please. Let's talk about Shuri.
Yeah. Okay. So, preface, I haven't like in depth read it and there's a lot of, you know, story here. So, I might be missing something, but based on the art and what little of the story I can easily discern from just flipping through it, this is like literally exactly what I want superhero comics to be.
That's what, like, I thought.
This is, you know, maybe it's a niche for me, but I am really excited to read this. It looks awesome. It just looks so awesome. It's great. It looks great. I can't wait to read it.
So the art is interesting because it's really not my style. Like when I look at it, I'm like, oh,
love it.
Doesn't do it for me. By the way, that was my cat.
Yes. the cat visit. Wishes to be on the table.
Yes. I'm glad that it's somebody's thing because it's clearly not incompetent art. It's just not
my
style.
No, my God, no. It's. I think it's masterful.
Like
art.
I look
I
at it
great.
And I'm just like, man, this really does not do it for me.
Huh?
Like there were certain moments that I was just like, I can just barely follow this.
Yeah, and I guess it kind of does follow along with that kind of that guy.
It just
Javier Pulido that you have like it's
yes.
It's very kind of almost. I don't want to say blocky, but like the layout of it is super awesome.
This is going to be the laziest thing that I've ever said as a critique. It's hipstery, and I don't mean, and I hate that concept. It's artsy. It's not hipstery, and it's not really artsy. No. I can't explain what it is. It's a style that I've never gotten into, but plenty of people dig it, and it's like, it just happens to not be my thing.
It's a style that has like its own kind of realism. It's not like Neil Adams kind of trying to render everything.
No,
it's just, it's not like cartoony. It's not like, nothing is like, I don't know.
Now here's the problem. You literally flipped open to a page that I looked at and I was like, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing.
I absolutely love that.
Like, there's,
but this, as I was reading it, I was having real problems with it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think the it's definitely wordy, and that's why I haven't, because I really want to sit down and start, you know, obviously read it, and it's today I just got it. So like, I normally I have a little bit of more, I don't know, whatever. I was lazy this week, I didn't read it yet. But
it is great. It's, What am I trying to say about it?
Yeah, it's just not a style that you like.
It's a Fantagraphics type style.
Sure.
It's like a,
yeah,
it's like a more hip thing that somehow misses me.
Yeah, it's got a kind of Hernandez Brothers kind of feel in a little ways, I guess, maybe.
I'm a lowbrow idiot, you know?
No, you're not. People like what they like.
Give me dumb thuggy stuff.
Yeah, people like what they like. And he, you know, it's not like, it's not Greg Capullo. It's more of a like Love and Rockets kind of looking. But it's Shuri from the Black Panther movie, and she's having an adventure that's just her, and I think it looks great.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. Okay, so I would like to switch, speaking of dumb things that I like, Weapon Hex, the Infinity Warps book.
Yeah, I tried at a certain point. I just got lost and I couldn't figure out what was happening, so I checked out. But it looks cool on surface. It's
just,
it's
silly nonsense.
Scarlet Witch and
Laura.
Laura
X-23.
X-23. And then at the end, I love that character name at the end.
fucking hilarious.
And it's a great, like, if the Scarlet Witch was blended with X-23 and X-23 has a sister and the Scarlet Witch, you know, you do the math on what the next mashup is, but it's like, it's actually pretty cool. And the idea
was,
of that character.
It was kind of a punchline, and of course it was a punchline because it's Akron Blacker from Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Nice.
That did it. So it's funny, but it's like basically the experiments, it's the same deal with the Wolverine thing where they kept experimenting, trying to get the Weapon X thing going. Instead, they're trying to get satanic evil what's-its into our system. Nobody can handle the demonic forces. Everybody dies except for Laura. She can handle it because she's so Wolverine-y. She's the Wolverine-est. I thought it was fun.
She's the second most Wolverine-est.
Yes.
This is Lucifer.
So this is Lucifer number one.
I have to preface it with, didn't read it, don't understand what's going on, but man, it is good looking.
Okay.
Like, that is a nice looking comic book.
I will say, I read it cover to cover in depth because Lucifer was
a huge favorite.
Probably one of, I've probably read that in sequence. Like, I bought all of them all at the same time and read it cover to cover from nine or whatever trade paperbacks. Just could not stop reading it. Absolutely love it. I loved this one, too.
Cool. Yeah, it looks
this
great.
It's a crazy, because he, so at the end of, thank God they just skip over the one that's like the TV series one that came out a couple of years ago.
I remember there was a TV series.
Terrible.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the TV show, whatever. It's just a TV show. Who cares? But it just,
They made a comic
that just kind of gave up on the original brilliant series and just kind of was like, eh, what if that never happened? And we just kind of start from scratch. They may have pretended to have some continuity, but like the character was totally changed and it was just, it wasn't right. And this picks up where it left off. He's got his wings sawed off and he's all crazy and he's a hobo and they keep, like, he's a crazy homeless man who keeps getting his eyes gouged out in a crazy ceremony that happens every single day. And then he gets squished down and poured into a bucket and they pour him back out and he reforms his eyes. And it's insanity, but it's insanity in the way that a Vertigo Lucifer book should be. And also, a little inside scoop, that is a picture of Sean Gordon Murphy on the cover.
I can see it.
That's Jock, who based that on Sean. He took a photo of him at like San Diego and then just drew the details of Lucifer
onto it. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I picked it up and flipped through it, and I looked at the art. I didn't follow the previous series, so it's not something that I'm going to follow, but it looks fantastic.
So far,
if you're
there has Lucifer, not been like anything from the new Sandman universe series that I haven't thought was brilliant.
Oh, it's Max and Sebastian Fiumara. Those guys are awesome. They did that Abe Sapien miniseries. Well, I guess it ended up being a miniseries, but it was an ongoing series that went for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've done a lot of Hellboy stuff. They're great. Yeah, I recognized that I really liked the art style, but I didn't pick out that it was them.
Yeah, it's great. So far, Lucifer is basically Sandman. I can't wait for Books of Magic.
Yeah,
I read so on board for every single book that's out.
Cool.
So
yeah, it looks like a great. The Sandman universe looks like a great series of books.
They have really, really, really nailed the old series, which is like brings so much joy to my heart because I have missed that stuff so much, especially the Dreaming. And nice. The Dreaming is especially good. Nice. And you know what? As a segue, let's talk about something that I thought was fucking awesome.
I will have to back you up. I thought it was one of the strongest books of the week. It was really good.
Marvel Zombie. It's a one-shot.
Yeah, it was really good.
But it's about Simon Garth.
It is about the zombie.
It's about Marvel's actual zombie character.
Yeah, well, it was just the zombie, right? Yeah, yes.
And it also, it involves Moon Girl in a huge role and her big mecha dinosaur.
Yeah. And also it's not previous Marvel. It's an alternate universe where Simon Garth basically gets tied to a young character through the use of some kind of
amulet.
And it's a Marvel Zombies style world where it's the Marvel universe, most everyone is a zombie, and then there's like some heroes like Moon Girl and Spider-Man, Daredevil, and who else? There was
Falcon.
Someone else cool.
Falcon.
But there was another
Black Widow.
Sure.
Is another one survived.
Yeah, it was cool. So it's like a kind of like a ragtag group, but it was really good, and it is a one shot. Like
it's a one shot, and it's by the guy. It's by the guy that wrote Ice Cream Man.
Oh,
so hence cool. the geniusness.
Yeah, I see.
Man, if there is one book that I could recommend above all others this week, if you are a Marvel fan, you gotta read Marvel Zombie. Oh man, it was good. Just a one and done. Like, just read this awesome comic. I can't think of anything better.
Yeah.
This book.
Yeah, for sure. I would say it was definitely one of the top books of the week.
What else have you got over there? You've got some stuff.
I got a couple things. Well, we already talked about Black Hammer. Rumble came out.
Should be definitely talked about is talk about Harley Quinn.
I'm going to talk about Harley Quinn.
Because I
like it.
I think it needs to be explained that Harley Quinn has taken a new direction since the old team and is now very fun and very interesting and really well written and really like a series that you should pay attention to and isn't just like a sad excuse for cheesecake.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of the Harley Quinn as she appears in like Heroes in Crisis and Batman comics where she's like all serious and murdery and Suicide Squad and all that stuff, like this might not be your favorite take on Harley Quinn, but I love it. It definitely goes into a more like absurd Harley Quinn is existing clearly in ambush bug territory where she understands that continuity, she's in a comic book and it's crazy. The art is really good, and this has a actual Golden Age relatively unused hero called Captain Triumph, who was he has a really generic costume, red t-shirt, white pants, boots, and he had a twin brother who died, and then his twin brother like hung around and like told him what to do and how to be a superhero. And they would join together and he would get superpowers. James Robinson wrote him in the Golden Age as like tortured by his brother. And he's just like, just leave me alone. I hate you. Like, it's like my brother is like constantly telling me like he wants to get inside my body and like do stuff. But anyway, this is silly. Like, so Harley Quinn, Captain Triumph, it's just over the top. And also, the Red Bee is in this comic, and any comic that has the Red Bee in it is a guaranteed I will take a look. It's got the old version of the Ray, all the quality characters that DC bought, like Red Bee and Miss America, and there's a guy that looks exactly like the Spirit, but he's called like Midnight. They're all in this because it's like outside. There's some clown guy too that I don't know who he is, but I love this. It's just fun and also there is this new character that appears that has a punny kind of name, but. Kind of funny. I don't know. I like this take on Harley Quinn. I think it's good. We'll see how long it continues to be published in this form. And I think it'll be a matter of maybe a month or two.
Probably. okay. So I mean, honestly, the sales of Harley Quinn for us, I don't know about nationally, but like nearing the end of the old team's run, were really dwindling. We used to sell the ever-living crap out of Harley Quinn back in the olden times, and now it's just like it's down to a piddle.
Yeah.
So I think a new direction's probably a good plan.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this Thor issue.
Yeah, it was cool. I like Christian Ward did the art.
Yeah, I don't mean to insult the old artist who I love, but man, I think this would have been the way to go from the beginning.
I indeed prefer the art style of Christian Ward in this Thor comic.
It's easier to see the characters if you've been having kind of an issue with it being too amorphous and the colors being too trippy.
Yeah.
I mean, with Weird World, it was like, of course it looks like that. It's Weird World. It's going to be crazy.
But it didn't, even Weird World was easier to read than
Thor comic. I think you're right. And this is great, and also for Speculator Corner, there's the origin of a new character at the end.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Last page.
New character, eh? Oh, wait.
Well.
Okay.
Well, you know, new.
Gross. you read this?
I did read this.
Yeah, it's fun.
This is a silly one. Yeah. This is also, speaking of, this is an origin of a new character as well. We have What If Marvel Comics Went Metal with Ghost Rider.
It's literally like, what if Ghost Rider was a member of Metalocalypse? Like, I swear to God, it's essentially that.
I feel like what they really wanted, they really wanted Immortal to be in the comic and they couldn't get their likenesses. But either way... imagine if Immortal were in a Ghost Rider comic, and you pretty much have it. It's fun, silly metal stuff.
It's definitely metal-based.
And also, I love the fact that basically their replacement for Norway or Sweden is Latveria. So
nice.
So the metal band is from Latveria.
Yes. Oh my God, that's cool.
It's great.
Yeah.
If that kind of silly crap is your thing, you're gonna dig this one.
Yeah.
I dug it. Obviously.
It's for 100%. If you like metal and if you like Ghost Rider, this is your comic. And if you just like fun comics, this is a fun comic. Like, I enjoyed reading it. The cover is Ghost Rider like standing on the hood of his car playing a fiery electric guitar.
Yeah. Also, Nightwing happened.
Nightwing happened and is depressing.
And Mr. and Mrs. X happened. And it was a comic book.
Yeah, that was a comic book where people ran around and did stuff.
So I think we nailed it.
Yeah, we did. And we talked about that. And we talked about... Yeah, yeah. There were other comics, but...
There's a slew of other stuff.
That's a smorgasbord of...
Smorgasbord.
What is out today, October 17th.
Yeah. And we've got a couple of things going on. Nice. Just a heads up. If you want to subscribe to comics through Coast City and you are a far away person... We now have a thing on the website that if you buy $30 worth of comics, we'll give you 25% off.
Whoa.
Online. So that's a thing.
That's crazy. That's
and,
a great deal.
Yeah. And we will ship them to you. So do that. And we put up this week, we put up over 60 new releases on the website available to purchase.
Nice.
Including variants and other nonsense. So that's all there. We have all sorts of other stuff for sale. Also, we have, and this is also on the web as well, we've got signed copies of the White Knight trade, but if you buy them through us for each one, we'll give you a signed copy of the Batman Day first issue of White Knight to go
cool.
with it.
Cool, nice.
So, two signed comics for the price of one.
Sick.
And those things, for some insane reason, are actually selling for money now.
Yeah, hey.
So
people like what they like, and they should like it.
So the
White Knight was an awesome comic. Somehow why shouldn't it sell?
I don't know, man. When Free Comic Book Day books become worth money when they're just like reprints of other comics, it boggles my mind.
That is weird.
It's like people are paying like $5 to $10 for those issues unsigned on eBay.
But the thing is, you have to remember that they have, despite the fact that you give them away for free, they have a monetary value. It's
that is
not
true.
Like, you know, just because it's free doesn't mean it's true. Unlimited supply. It, you know, it's like,
that's a good point. I sold a bunch of copies of Walking Dead number one for $3 15 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I read a horrifying copy of it and put it down and didn't buy it. You know?
Who needs this nonsense?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
I ground a bunch of them up and put them in bird cages.
I snorted
last week.
Snorted them in powder form.
Anyway.
But I remember, actually, funny anecdote, when The Invisibles number one came out, there was a thing in the letters column that like Grant Morrison wrote that was like, you know, just destroy this comic, tear it up. Your memory of this comic is better than this comic will ever be. And I was like, that's really cool. And I crumpled it up in a ball and I like went to like throw it away, but I never like actually threw it away. And then eventually like I straightened it out. Like I still have it. Cause I was like, it's so good.
That's hilarious.
Anyway. Yeah. I just couldn't do it. But I did crumple it up.
Never listen to Grant Morrison about anything.
No, I still love my crumpled up copy of Invisibles.
Actually,
number one.
That's true. That's, you know, it has extra value.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sentimental
it
value.
It means
now
something to me.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week.
Yes.
Right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.